Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. Thanks so much for tuning in again to listen to the broadcast. And I'd like you to listen to the words of 1 John chapter 4 this morning as we begin the broadcast. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. If you'd like to listen, that's great. If you want to look it up in your Bible, that's even more amazing. And so 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1, John says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Man, this was in the first century when this was written. Okay, so even back at the very beginning of the kingdom of God and as the gospel of Jesus Christ went out into the world, John is saying, listen, friends, the Christians he was writing to, don't believe everyone you hear. That's what he's talking about. Don't believe every spirit. He's not talking about ghosts or spirits that way. He's talking about test the spirits of people who are proclaiming things to you. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is the same thing in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 that Luke commended the Bereans for doing. He says the Bereans were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica because they received the message with great eagerness and then examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. In other words, just because Paul was preaching a message to them, just because he claimed to be an apostle of God, they took the initiative and the effort and everything else to receive it with great eagerness, but then to examine the scripture to make sure that what Paul was telling them was true. And of course, as an apostle of Christ Jesus, what he was telling them the truth. But John warned them, test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 2, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Okay, so in the last part of the first century there were many that were already trying to twist and pervert the gospel. I mean, even in the pages of scripture, we know that was happening. Paul warned of it, and Peter warned of it, and Jesus warned of it. I mean, Satan is alive and well, and he's going to do everything he can to keep people blinded to the truth and do everything he can to undermine the Word of God and get people to doubt and not trust, ultimately, in Jesus the Christ. You know, we were talking about it not too long ago in one of our Wednesday night classes that many times people say, well, I believe in God. Okay, but what God do you believe in? Just because you say you believe in God, it doesn't really mean a whole lot. Okay, what matters is, do you believe in the God of creation? Do you believe in the God of Scripture? Do you believe in the God who so loved the world that he gave us his son Jesus to die for us on the cross? Okay, John also writes back in John chapter 1 and verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then dropping down to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's what John's talking about in 1 John chapter 4. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And if somebody comes to you and doesn't acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if that's not their foundation, if that's not the pivot of their message, and that they agree along with Jesus himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him, it's the spirit of Antichrist. It's just all there is to it. In Revelation chapter 5, we just learned that when the scroll was in the hand of Almighty God, sealed with seven seals, and the mighty angel asked, who can break the seals? Who is worthy to break the seals? And no one responded, in heaven or on earth. And John was upset and he wept because no one could be found to open the scroll. And he wanted to know what God's will was. He wanted to know what God said in the scroll, his word. And yet there was no one worthy to open it. But then one of the elders said, hey, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He can open the scrolls. And so here comes this, not lion, but lamb that looked like it had been slain. And he takes the scroll from the hand of the one on the throne, and he is worthy. And they all fall down before him. The 24 elders, the four living creatures, the multitude of angels, the whole multitude from the earth, they all praise him and bow down and cast their crowns and worship him because he is worthy. That's Jesus. That's our Christ. And so when John was dealing with this in the first century, those that came along and said, well, you know, Jesus was just a man, or he was just a spirit, or, you know, he didn't really die on the cross, or he never really died when they buried him in the tomb or placed him in the tomb. He never really tasted death for us. Okay, that's Antichrist. That is against Christ. And that's what John says. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Obviously, that's not the only criteria that you go by, right? It's more than just that. It's the whole teaching of Scripture, and especially that of Jesus the Christ. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So, you know, people say, oh, the Antichrist, the teaching Antichrist is future. Hey, John says it was right there in the first century. And guess what? Any teaching that goes against Christ or that denies that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that doesn't acknowledge him as coming in the flesh, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us and dying on that cross for our sin. The wages of sin is death. How could he pay the penalty for our sins unless he died? He did die on the cross. He was placed in the tomb. On the third day, he became the firstborn of all of those who will rise from the dead. And so this is where John goes on in verse 4 to say, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Isn't that awesome? You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Who's the them? Those that have the spirit of Antichrist. Those that don't acknowledge Jesus as coming in the flesh. Those that are not a part of the false prophets who have gone into the world, but they're from God. And so John says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." In other words, the Spirit of God in us is greater than the one who is in the world. False prophets, false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist, it may boast, it may brag, it may seem fair, but it's foul. And we're not to listen to it. We're to take our stand on the promises of Almighty God in Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved. You cannot be saved by anyone but Jesus. And so verse 5 goes on to say, "They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." What's John saying? He's saying, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, he may not do it as boldly as Paul did or Peter did, but here's John saying, listen, we are from God. John knew who Jesus was. He testified to it in his gospel, in the revelation. He was with Christ from his baptism until his resurrection and then his ascension into heaven. He knew that he had received the Spirit of Christ. And so he says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. This is why the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Why? Because the apostles were the ones who had received the Holy Spirit. They were the ones that were being guided into all the truth by the Holy Spirit. They were the ones that the Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance all the things that Jesus had taught them. They were the ones that were guided into all the truth of the New Testament that we have. And so when he says, whoever listens to us is from God, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. People that are not from God or that have the spirit of the world or the spirit of man, they don't want to listen to Scripture. They want to just listen to man-made doctrines and man-made traditions and creeds and everything else. They want to put their trust in religion instead of put their trust in Christ. They want to have the world, and yet this is not the spirit of Christ. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The spirit of truth loves the word of God. The spirit of falsehood hates it. The spirit of falsehood rejects Jesus, the Christ. The spirit of God accepts and recognizes and honors the only one who is worthy to open the scroll, if you would. He is the only one. And so don't forget that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And friend, if you're listening this morning and you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. That's what Romans 8 teaches. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. And God has graciously given Jesus the Spirit to pour out on us, that we can be indwelled, sealed by the power of Almighty God, the Spirit of God, that we can rejoice in the fact that he has washed us of our sins. He has raised us up to walk in newness of life. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. And so if you're listening this morning and you're not sure whether or not you have the Spirit of God in your life, I want to encourage you to contact us and start asking questions and start learning how you too can have the Spirit of God in your life, how you too can have the confidence that comes from knowing that you have died with Christ, that you've been buried with him in baptism, that you have been raised to walk in newness of life, and that you can stand on the promises of God. Greater is he who is in us than the one who is in the world. Hey, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Mercy Me called Greater. And I hope that you hear in the song some of the very things that we've been talking about in this first part of the broadcast this morning. Let's listen.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I hear a voice and there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay, 'cause I hear a voice and
now that we're back, I'd like you to turn over to Acts chapter 1. And as you do that, today is May 20th, and it marks the day of Pentecost, which is a day 50 days after Passover, which was for the nation of Israel to celebrate another one of those required feasts that God had for them as a nation. And you can learn all about that. We won't go into all the details about it right now, but it's pretty fascinating. But anyway, in the book of Acts, starting in verse 1, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they all returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, the Sabbath day's walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Parenthetical statement here says a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry." And then he goes on to talk about Judas, and he talks about the necessity of choosing one of the men who had been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, and they prayed, "Lord, show us which of these two you've chosen to take over this apostolic ministry." And they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. All right, now, chapter 2 begins with, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now, there are no chapter breaks or chapter numbers or verse numbers in the original writings of the apostles. These were all things that were added later. And so when you finish with Matthias being added to the 11 apostles, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. A pronoun always refers back to its nearest antecedent. So it's really the focus on the apostles being all together in one place. Now, we don't know how many others were there with them, of course, but remember what we've already read. Jesus said for them, the apostles, not to leave until they had been baptized with the Holy Spirit back in verse 5. And verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." So, you know, Jesus had kind of made those specific promises to his apostles. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, more than likely in the temple somewhere. Luke finishes his gospel talking about that. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Very many times the temple was called the house of God. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages, more accurately, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans?" Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, or, again, languages. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. So Peter becomes the one spokesman here, kind of like Jesus said he was going to be back in Matthew 16. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Peter's saying, look, this is what Joel was prophesying about all of those years before. This is the beginning of the pouring out of the Spirit of God. It began with the apostles, and then as the apostles began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, those men and women who accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, who obeyed it, they were added to the kingdom of God that began here on the day of Pentecost. The apostles that were there, they saw the kingdom of God come with power. They were the recipients of that, if you would. And it credentialized them. It set them apart to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter did, all the way from verse 22 to verse 36, when he says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now, obviously not all that were there, but those who responded, those who accepted his message. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Amen. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And so we want you to go back and read these things over and continue to learn them. If you'd like to come this morning to be with us at the church at Las Vegas, we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And you can come and meet with us at 10:30 this morning. Also, you can meet with us Sunday evening at 6 o'clock and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to hear your questions. We'd love to be able to share the gospel with you if you've never heard it. We'd love to be able to welcome you as a follower of Jesus Christ, if that's who you are. But whatever you do, I pray that you will follow Jesus. He's the only one worth following absolutely. And I pray that you too can have your sins forgiven and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be preaching a message about the power of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life this morning at 10:30. So I want to encourage you to come out for that. Visit us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until the next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.